Okay. So the reason I was pissed off earlier was I've spent, you know, I don't get a lot of time to do like my illustration stuff. I get maybe like.
And your stupid son just shadootied all over one of your brand new drawings.
No, no, I don't do any like real stuff anymore. It's all digital. I'm on the iPad. Anyways.
He shadootied all over the iPad.
He just crapped on my iPad. And I'm sad. No, I. Okay. So I get to like illustrate and sketch and stuff like very little. I do it like maybe 15 minutes at a time,
mm-hmm.
like once a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a lot. So, but I've got like a culmination of like 5 hours or so, which is, you know, after a while, that is a lot.
It's a lot to me.
I mean,
5 hours of drawing's a lot.
I mean, I'm
when I draw once every 10 years. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, back when I was like in school and stuff, I'd be spending like 10 hours on projects.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So shows you how much work I get done now. Anyways, this will take like 2 weeks to get something I want to do done. And basically I'm like almost done with this piece and I'm like, okay, cool. It's getting there. I have a basic iPad, so it is just chugging with like Adobe. And I use Adobe Fresco, which is like a mixture between like Illustrator and Photoshop for the people who care, which is probably not a lot. So
isn't Fresco like a drink?
That's like, I'm talking about Fresco.
Oh, okay, okay.
You got your masculine and feminine Spanish mixed up.
Oh.
I don't know. anyways,
it's it's a fresca. That's not next. That's Italian.
Italian for what?
Cold.
For fresco?
Oh, I don't know.
Fresca is Italian for fresco. No, okay, so
anyways. Freddo. I was like, I know it sounds close to Freddo. Freddo is cold and caldo is hot.
Anyway, so all right, so I'm nearing the end. I've got like a couple touch-ups to do, like hoping that like my thing doesn't crash, cuz sometimes like the program will just force quit. Because it is a way higher end program than what a basic iPad can do. Like everyone who runs this uses like iPad Pros, but then at that point they don't even use that program. They use Procreate and all these other stuff. Anyways, also I got a little bit of a stuffy wuffy nose.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you can.
Didn't you have that last week?
I did, but still
couldn't record part of last week because you're like, I'm gonna say it's infection. Me 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 me.
Well, now it's all drainage.
That's disgusting.
That means it's coming out.
I don't need to know where you're oozing from.
It's leaving my orifice.
I don't need to know.
All right, so it crashes. And so I'm like, oh, that means like the past like 30 minutes of work I've done is like gone.
Yeah.
So anyways, I try to open up the program. I try to load the last save. Says, cannot recognize file.
Let's go. This happened to me a week ago.
Bro, it's like when we record podcasts sometimes, it just doesn't recognize it.
Well, only happened once.
One and a half times. Anyways.
So you lost that entire thing.
So I lost that entire... Wow. No, I'm just kidding. So basically, I don't know why this worked. I'm trying all these different things. I'm like sharing... I can share the file. I just couldn't open it. Don't know why. It's like, cannot recognize PSD. So I share
it. What does
it.
PSD stand for?
Photoshop.
Because we all know that PDF stands for portable donkey format.
I don't know if that's what that means.
Every time I open up a new Microsoft Word, I hear, hee-haw. You don't?
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely what it is.
Dude, what does PDF stand for?
PDF?
Yeah.
Or PSD?
PDF.
Well, you asked what PSD stands
for. I know, but then I said, what does PSD stand for? Because we all know what PDF stands for.
So,
this is the most common one.
PSD is Photoshop document. PDF is, I don't know, because that's like the main thing I work with at work is PDFs.
Yeah, I know.
I don't remember.
PDF is, let me take an actual educated guess. Printable document format.
Oh.
Because it's
printable. Dang, you are so close.
Ugh.
You are so close. You want me to tell you which letter
it's
you got
portable
wrong?
Portable document, isn't it?
Yes.
Look at me, boy.
Dude, you are so smart.
I'm so smart.
Anyway, so this is what I did. Tell me in where does this make sense? So basically, I recovered
portable
it.
Portable because you can send it. Sorry, what's up?
You can put it on a flash drive and it's portable.
Because no. It's like the file. Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't know where you're getting at with that. Anyway, so guess how... So the way that I fixed it was this. All I did, like, I sent it to myself. I airdropped it. I sent it places, tried to open it on different computers. The way I was able to actually open it, copy, paste, open the new one. It's the same file. I don't know why, but it opened.
Nice.
Thank goodness. So,
you had no bad news. You're just, are you just boasting?
I was angry. I was so angry. I was like, this iPad that I have on loan, I'm going to slam over my knee, and I almost did. I was so pissed.
Did you ever, like, have you ever thrown something out of anger?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you had anger problems as a kid, huh?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so no, when you play competitive sports, especially the sports where it's like...
Competitive video games?
No. I'm talking about, like, leave the house. Oh. So I played a lot of baseball.
Do you?
And do I played. You? I played.
Okay.
Dude, we were in state playoffs, baby. I tell you what, that's the first time our school has been to state playoffs since 95, bro.
That's cool, man.
Living the glory days right now. You ever seen Napoleon Dynamite where it's like his uncle's like, man, I used to be able to throw a football a quarter mile.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everyone hated that guy. That's how I feel. Nah, dude, I used to get so mad, like, and it's so stupid. So I was cursed with being like in like the first five batting lineup, like in the first five spots. So those are always the people with like the highest batting percentage or whatever. So
why? I like how you're humbly bragging on it.
No.
It's like to be with the high, whatever. It's just stupid. The highest batting percentage.
The batting lineup makes no sense to me, even now. So I'm like, just spread them out. Anyways, sorry. Different point, different podcast. We'll talk about it later.
That doesn't make sense to spread them out though, because if you're worse at the beginning, you're going to strike out, and then you never get to the people who are.
No,
hit
the way
balls.
I think about it is this: is that like you get three outs per inning, right? Yep. Well, these first five, six guys are going to be all on base, and then you just got guys that are really likely to strike out for the next like four at bats.
I see.
So I'm just like space them out.
Okay. I see where
I have a feeling that would do really well against other teams that are doing it the opposite.
Dude, I don't know the statistics of the baseball.
Anyways, I used to be like, I was such a sore loser, and I'd be like, oh, I didn't get on base like every single time, like an idiot. Like, I was so douchey. I would just get so pissed and like punch stuff.
Yeah, I can see that.
I have scars all over my knuckles from me punching things. When we get done, I'll show you. You'll be like, what's wrong with your fingers?
It's crazy when you think back of like times when you were like a kid with like not a fully developed brain. Like, I have memories of like when I would get so like mad about things, or things would feel like the end of the world, and I'd be so sad and upset.
That don't matter.
And then you're like, wow, that stuff happens to me like on a daily now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm even thinking like back when I was like as young as I could be. I remember like specific memories of just as a kid getting so upset or sad or angry about something. Almost to the point where I feel it again, and then I feel guilty because I'm like, I was a little bitch. Like,
dude.
But it's just because you were a kid. But those memories will like make you feel like a bad person sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so I'm trying to think of like the biggest like moments where I was just.
Oh, for me, a really funny off. Moment that's like I think is funny is, I was in high school and I was in high school and. Something I remember I was at a friend's house and one of my stupid girlfriends at the time.
Bro, that's what I was about to get into.
If you were listening to this and you're one of my girlfriends in high school,
you're stupid.
You're dummy. You're dummy idiots, and I hate you. And
you're a poopy face, and I don't like you.
And girls are dumb. Cooties.
I hope you sell feet pics.
I mean, I don't know. Those make a lot of money, so we're just wishing success upon them.
No, I'm like, I hope you like are so low that you have to sell feet pics.
I don't know, man. If someone offers me the money for the feet pics, I might sell.
That
the
doesn't mean you're making money just because you sell.
If you're selling feet pics, you better be making money.
You better, but you probably aren't.
I don't know, bro. Some people pay top dollar for those top toesies.
I don't believe that.
But no, I mean, honestly, yeah, it did have to do with a girlfriend and I don't care. I mean, I think it's funny now because like, who cares? Something happened and something made me really upset. I got a text from, I think it was a girlfriend at the time or something, but like I was in not a great, God, I'm like air. I'm just like, I'm not,
Hey, you're in a safe place.
I mean, I'm talking publicly
we
about
this.
We
care about you.
No, the reason I actually don't care about talking about this is because it was high school. Who cares? I don't really care how I was treated or people were treated in high school because we're all dumb young idiots anyways.
That's how
like,
I feel
really,
about myself.
It doesn't matter at all.
That's how I feel about myself.
I have no actual hate towards people from high school. I can't think of like a single person I don't like from high school.
I have like maybe one to two people I really didn't like in high school.
Yeah.
Like really didn't like.
Yeah.
Now, like I used to think that back then I hated a lot of people, but
yeah.
I really only didn't like maybe one
but
person.
But my stupid girlfriend. No,
here's the thing. The person I probably hated the most in high school is myself. Because I was such a douche. I was such a douche. Like, if anybody's watching this and you knew me from high school, why did you not just punch me in the face for being such a douche?
I'm glad we weren't friends in high school. But
you would not have liked me. I was an a-hole.
But something happened. I got a text message. I was in, like... I don't know, not a good relationship by the time, I guess. And I got this message, and I was already, like, heated, and then that was, like, the last straw. I took my phone.
Oh, my gosh, we're twins. All right, keep going.
I took my phone. I was like, and I just Hulk smashed it into the ground. And then, like,
my spirit animal.
Immediately after, I was like, that's my phone. Like, it was, there was no time for me to, like, it was,
wait.
After, like, an what hour. The- it was immediately, I was like, I was like,
dude,
no, oh, that's, I need
the
that.
First phone I ever broke was the same way.
Broke. Oh, I've broken phones in wild ways. I put mine in, actually, I think it kept working. No, it didn't. I broke my phone because I left it in my pants somehow and went through the washer and the dryer.
That is weird.
I ran over one of mine with a lawnmower.
That's
on accident.
Weirder.
On accident. I was like on a riding lawnmower and, don't text and drive, guys. I pulled it out and was sending a text, and it's like while I'm like riding on this lawnmower, it slips out of my hands. I go.
What
to,
is
like,
it made of? Soap.
I go to like catch it, and I like fumble it a few times, and then it hits the right. Or, I'm sorry, the left tire of the lawnmower that I'm riding on, and it hit it and just like it hit it right underneath the lawnmower. It was like. And I was like, and I just saw it get shredded and spit out the side.
Yo,
and I was like,
that's awesome.
No. I think I immediately started laughing. Like, because I was like, that's hilarious. Like, what am I going to do?
I think I would have laughed too. That's out of a sitcom.
It was so
that's
funny.
Like something I've seen on like Malcolm in the Middle or something weird.
Yeah, yeah,
like that.
It happened.
Man. No, yeah. Dude, when you were saying like you threw your phone on the ground, I was like, I did the same thing. So this is probably literally like a month after we were on the Duff. And the girl I was with at the time, like, she, I won't say her name because I'm not that kind of person. I wouldn't drag her.
No.
She's probably a different person now. So, she like called me to tell me like, hey, look, and I told her, I said, look, this is the one thing. Like, if we're having disagreements or whatever, and we have arguments, we'll work through it. We're, you know, like we'll battle through it, but I will not deal with like anyone who cheats on me. Mm-hmm. Like that is like no ifs, ands, buts about it. Like if you didn't mean to or whatever, I'm like, you gotta be smarter than that kind of stuff, you know?
Yep.
She called me, she's like, look, I'm at a party and I kissed a guy. I immediately was like, well, don't call me again. I took my phone and I'm outside and I lived in a brick house at this time. And I'm not even paying attention to what I'm doing. I'm just
okay,
like,
little piggy.
Hey, it's still there. I just took my phone and just threw it up against the wall as hard as I could. For some odd reason, phone still worked.
Wow, was it a Nokia?
It was an iPhone 4.
Oh my God. Actually, iPhone 4s were really strong.
They were really durable. So if you don't know, for all you Zoomers out there, an iPhone 4 is glass on front and back. And so basically that turned into powder. But for some odd reason, like, I mean, it was still like a bunch of cracks everywhere and I could like make out numbers and how to unlock my phone and stuff. So what I did was I just took like packing tape and I just like, cause it's the same width and I just wrapped it like three or four times.
Oh my God.
Built in. I made a screen protector.
That's, you're protecting nothing. The screen's destroyed.
But yeah, the
you made a screen, dude.
Screen
you made another screen.
But it was holding all the glass shards in place and I could still text on it. I could still do almost everything for it.
Oh my God.
So, you know, hey, I learned a valuable lesson.
Both mine that went through the wash.
Don't deal with immature little girls Okay, that sounded weird.
Anyone listening, don't mess with the immature girls.
Date people
with immature little girls.
Date people your own age. No. Don't deal with immature females. And just like, your phone is very expensive. If you gotta throw something, find something. I don't know, a rock, a shoe. You're not gonna break those.
No, you got it. You have to throw something that can break.
That I think there's that's there's the like thing. A power.
Like if I throw a pillow, thing. I'm not satisfied. Like give me something that can break.
Yeah.
Like buy throwable objects. Like have a chest full of just like random like toys and stuff that you just designate to your angry throwy box.
Something of monetary value, just making that turn into nothing is like great. Like let me set something on fire,
yes.
You know?
Yes, let's kill the world, man.
Bro,
honestly,
let's set your house on fire.
I do say
what?
I'm sorry.
I won't say anything about the hand motion you just said. Like,
I'm just That was for Chris.
Yeah, his little Hitler on his shoulder.
Back when
that's a callback to an earlier episode. You're just gonna have to watch them all and figure out which one it
all
is.
Of them. but yeah, all the phones that I destroyed, like that I ran over and that I put in the wash and I threw against the ground, none of those were iPhones. They were like flip phones, like
good.
Some had like full keyboards, but they weren't like yeah. They were not as expensive as
every other phone I've ever broken, they just went in the pool.
Well, you're done.
Literally, I keep them in my pocket by accident, and I walk in the pool, and I'm like, what's that in my pocket? Oh, just $500 just down the drain.
Look, get that new iPhone 14 Pro Max, and it's waterproof.
Bro, that's what I love about my 13 Pro, is it, yep. Like, I walked waterproof. Into a pool, forgot I had it in my pocket, yep. Went, oh.
Took it out.
And then I stayed in the pool. I didn't even I didn't even take it out.
Oh yeah, dude. When I was in Italy, I cliff jumped with my phone in my hand.
Bro.
I had to squeeze onto it so tight.
And you had to make sure you didn't go that deep because it's only like a certain meters.
I think it said like 15 feet though.
That's like 3 meters. Actually, yeah. I don't know.
Actually, I think it said 30 feet. I don't know.
That's
it's not bad. It's really not bad.
That's a lot more meters.
Yeah, it is. It do got the meterage.
That's like the king's measurement.
What? Meters?
Meters.
Hmm.
Metric.
But I was going to say something
that
else
American.
Based on
you,
what we
you got
were,
yards, brother.
Based on what we were saying, I was going to say something else. But I forgot, so not going to talk about that much. I think, Mac, you have a present for me.
Oh, I do. Look. So
I had a present for you, but I gave it to you off camera, okay?
You did. It
cookies.
Was,
I brought cookies.
It was cookies.
I brought cookies.
It was cookies, and we had cookies and milk.
We did.
All right, so what I have in my pocket is a little gift of something I know you love.
Okay. You're like right behind my computer, so
it's right. You don't. You can't see this right now, but I'm going to ask you to guess what it is. You probably are going to guess.
Is it in your hand right now?
Yes.
I physically can't see it.
Yep. That's because I'm a master of...
It's tiny. You said I'm going to love it?
It's cylindrical.
The Tesseract. That's not cylindrical.
Do you know what this is?
No, you're holding it up and it's just a
here,
black
I'll let you
rod.
Hold it. I'll let you hold it.
If this shocks
it's,
me.
It's about the size of like a Sharpie marker.
If this shocks
just
me.
Just a black.
Oh, green. Sick, dude. This is a vape, dude. Let me hit it.
No, it's not a vape.
Oh, it's Flint.
Bro, that is a ferrule rod.
Oh, a ferrule rod.
I know how much you like fire.
Dude, I make fires. All the time. And when I make a fire now, I do it with flint and steel.
Bro.
These things light do flint. So well.
All right. What is it? No, magnesium and flint.
Yeah,
yeah. I hate that. It's the stupidest thing in the world.
Dude, it's so much fun.
Bro.
It's so much fun to make fire like that. It's so much fun.
So right now I'm prepping the rod.
Thank you. Prep it.
I'm scraping off this little exterior.
Up and down motion. Prepping.
All right. Exposing the raw metal. Let me just get that ASMR.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, now I'm going to put some pressure on it.
Oh. My man almost just lit his house on fire. He said, oh. I am prepping the rod, and oh.
All right.
That spark went way too far, way too fast.
So, okay. So how I got this, here, I'll give that to you so I don't burn something down. How I got this is my work. receives, don't worry, it won't rust. You're fine.
That's what I was going to say.
And that'll do that probably about a million times before it'll go out. My work gets, we do UPS and stuff. We're in an industrial park. And we got a random package one day. I know, scary, right? But it's addressed to us. Made no sense.
It's just a bunch of stuff to light on fire.
It's literally a pack of about 100 of these.
Why?
I don't know. We told
wrong address.
No, it says I work for a company called Sir Speedy. It said Sir Speedy, and they gave our address.
Weird.
Like somebody wanted to ship it to us, but we're not an outdoor, like enthusiast camping world kind of thing. But we got that, and so we've got like a box of 100. It's been two, three months. Huh. And they've been sitting there, so I just started taking them. I threw one in a backpack for like my camping stuff, and
yeah.
I'm giving them to people.
Huh.
And I figured you'd get a kick out of it since the last gift I gave you was also a lighter.
You give me a lot of fire things. I love fire, though. I have fires all the time.
It's got a little hole. You can put a lanyard on it. Well, we won't lose it.
This is really nice because these things are so much easier to start fires with. But
they can get wet. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, flint can, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those are just...
You can create bigger sparks.
I barely even put pressure.
Have you actually started the fire with flint and steel though?
I've done it with magnesium before. I hate it. It just takes forever. You'll lose your shavings if you don't do it right. If you're not careful,
bro.
At that point,
bro, let me show you how a pro does it.
No. You know what you need? Vaseline and cotton balls. That's a good fire.
Are we still talking about starting fires?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool, man. So, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'm going to keep this.
Don't leave it in my house.
Heavy rod.
Stop patting your rod.
I'm just hitting on the microphone so they can hear how heavy it is. That's awful. I should get rid of that. Well, cool. Thanks. Thank you. Hope you like your cookies. Can't light anything on fire with those, but they are cookies. I use fire to make those cookies.
Heat?
No, fire.
You have a gas oven?
Dude, fire, dude.
No.
I lit a fire outside, took a pan, and then
that's
put cookie dough
bull
on it.
Shiz.
You can't taste the smokiness of the chocolate chip cookie?
I taste like lighter fluid. What?
Well, yeah. So how about we just jump right into the movie?
You know what you can do with that, though?
What?
To kind of segue, you could light a fuse. Very similarly to the fuse used in the opening scroll. Of
bum 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 bum, 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 bum. So as you can tell from the title of this podcast, we're gonna be talking about Mission Impossible.
And guess what?
Mission Impossible just came out, so this is super, super up to date and hip and all that. Because you guys can't wait to listen to us talk about Mission Impossible because the new movie's out. We're gonna talk about the first movie from 1990.
1992.
Sorry, I don't know what it was. You got clickbaited.
We're gonna
talk about the old one, not the new one.
I'm gonna IMDb this because I really want. I can't remember when it came out.
We promised
95?
That we would talk about Mission Impossible on the last episode. Remember, we said we're gonna try to talk about it. That's just true. Not the new one because Max sucks and you didn't go see it.
Yep.
Which I would still like to see it with you before it's out of theaters.
This movie came out in 1996,
the year I was born.
Thomas Cruise was 33.
Yeah.
That's 1 year more than I have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was a producer on this film.
Was he?
Yes.
I didn't know he was a producer on the first one. I thought it was...
He's been a producer on every single one, and if it wasn't for him, none of these movies would be made.
I thought he became a producer after the first couple.
Literally, even the first movie was a passion project for him. Hmm. He doubled the budget. He's like, I demand a budget bigger.
Wow. That's awesome. Because these movies have gotten really good.
So I like to think of like these movies as like if, you know how Fast and Furious, it just gets crazier and crazier.
Yeah.
And just outlandish.
Yeah.
This is like if it gets crazier and crazier and outlandish, but it's good.
It is good. I will say there's a couple spots in the new movie that I feel like are a little outlandish, but it's not even close to Fast and Furious. Like 90% of the stuff that happens in these movies are like, I could see that happening.
Well, they're not based in reality.
Mission Impossible?
Mission Impossible. Like none of it is based in any kind of reality.
What do you mean by that?
Other than they are spies.
What do you mean by it's not based in reality?
Like, they have gizmos that are not
atheist. Oh, okay, the gizmos, sure.
Like, there's technology that's very, like, sci-fi.
Right.
Which a proper spy movie, espionage spy movie, should have.
I think what I mean by that is, when you're making a movie...
We're not sending Ludacris into space on a rocket car.
Right. If you are making a movie, in the universe that the movie is made in, you have to stick to the parameters that you set. So, like, Marvel... When I say Marvel is, quote, realistic, I mean based upon the universe that it was set in and what is established for the powers of each character. Because once you start going crazy, you go, that doesn't make any sense. And people always like to retort with, they're superheroes. Come on, Tyler. It's superheroes. Are there superheroes in real life? It's not supposed to make... Yes, it is supposed to make sense. Within the given universe that is created and given what we as an audience have been given for the basis of this person's powers and what is established,
there's
you can't
boundaries.
Then go against it.
There's boundaries that makes things grounded, and it makes, like you said, makes
Once
things...
Once that's established, you have to stick to it.
Yeah.
And Mission Impossible does that really well, but also is still, even with that, I'm still giving the excuse of most of the stuff that happens still could happen in our universe. The gizmo, sure, but that's something that, like... Our technology has progressed so much in today's day and age that, give it another few years, half the stuff that you see in this first movie that didn't exist probably exists now. It's like, that I give such
literally
a pass, because it's like half the stuff in a top secret. We're not supposed to know what's in top secret spy organizations as far as technology goes. So maybe it does exist. Who knows?
Right. And that's the thing. Like, if we're going to jump into like the other stuff, like, there were things in this movie that didn't really exist at the time when it came out, but it does now. Like, I think the cameras and the glasses thing, like, I don't think back in 1996 that is a technology that could work the way
that
it did.
No, not even close.
The way they did hacking, the way that a lot of stuff didn't make sense at all. Did you see the way the internet worked in that stupid movie?
There was a part where he had to type in internet access, enter.
And then there's just a constant beep, beep,
dial up. Beep.
Bro, it's crazy. Like, who would have thought that the internet would be the way that it is now? Crazy. No one. Because they all thought wrong. but if you think of even in the other movies, I'm trying to think of, like, the crazier, like, gizmos and gadgets they have. Yeah. They have a 3D scanner and a 3D printer. I mean, the way that it works is not necessarily the way it does in real life, but it is a thing. You can print rubber. You can print all this stuff. Like, there's only a matter of time before that stuff actually becomes a reality and prints it to the detail and stuff that it does in the movie.
Talking about, like, the masks and
stuff. Like, the masks and
stuff. So that's just something they've kept throughout, like, every single Mission Impossible movie is the masks.
I think it's because that was a trope in the show, maybe. I'm not sure. I've never watched it. The only thing I really know about the show is that...
I didn't even know there was a show.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a 60s, and then they came back for a very, very, like, not popular brief time in the 80s as a
Before
show.
Before the movie?
Yeah.
What?
Yup. And so I think the things they kept were the theme song, the idea of, like, someone lighting a match and there's, like, a...
Because when I think Mission Impossible...
Da, fuse going... Da, da, da.
When I think of Mission Impossible, I just think of Tom Cruise, but if he didn't even start it?
Yeah, and then...
Mission Impossible is a series of American action spy films based on the 1966 TV series created by Bruce Geller.
And then the other thing that they kept was the little recording saying... This mission, should you choose to accept it, or if you should you decide to accept it,
my mind is blown.
We'll self-destruct in 5 seconds, and then it catches fire and smokes up or whatever. Like, that was a thing that they carried over.
Gotcha.
Other than that, none of the characters, none of the nothing. I think the main guy from the 60s TV show was originally like pined for being what's his name, John Voight. John Voight's character, the bad guy.
Okay. Yeah.
The old guy.
No, I know you're talking about.
He was
about.
A National Treasure.
I know who you're talking about.
I think he was originally, like, asked to be in that role, but as his character from the 60s, but he was like, I'm the good guy. I'm like Will Smith. I'm never going to be the bad guy kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And he didn't want to do that, so he dropped out of that.
Interesting. Well, that's interesting.
Also, did you know that Tom Cruise plays Tom Cruise in this movie?
What?
So the senator that he imitates in, like, the first half of the film.
The first scene, basically.
Basically. Well, the first, like...
The first spy mission
they have outside of the introduction is just Tom Cruise playing some country guy on TV or some like southerner senator.
What do you mean it's just Tom Cruise?
It is him. Like they show him on the TV like, I believe whatever and I'm a senator. And they like kind of hint, oh, this is the guy who your target is.
Oh, I see.
It's just Tom Cruise in a mask.
I thought that that was.
And so it's like, oh, that's easy. Tom Cruise is just going to play Tom Cruise. But again, if you think about it, like in the time, that's a smart way to make him look exactly like somebody else, quote unquote.
I'm so confused how that's still him playing him, though.
Because he plays a character on the TV screen in the movie.
Yeah.
And so his character now has to pretend to be that character whom Tom Cruise is playing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, but it's not. Okay, whatever.
Like, that's a kind of a almost clever way to kind of get past the whole it's a mask thing. And like, you know how in the future movies, they look exactly like
these
people.
Because they just. It's interesting because with this, like when he was actually in the mask, it was actually a mask. From what I could tell.
It was prosthetics. It
looked like a prosthetic. Like you could tell, like it was pretty. It was good, but it's like that's not a real guy.
Yeah, it was like
now
it was like a Mike Myers film.
All they do is get the actor to play that part,
right?
And then they
do some CGI whoop de woo, and
when they take it
reveal.
Off, or they're just really smart about their cuts, and then they take it and the camera goes behind their head, and then they just replace the actor.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
but it is an interesting like little trope that these kind of movies have. Like they've kind of set. Like, this is what our movies do.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's also cool because even though they have a lot of advanced technology, and I feel like this is a Nate thing. This is something Nate would say, which is, it doesn't make sense that, like, if you have all these high-tech gadgets and stuff that they're using that are so advanced, why are we still using rubber masks? Why don't you use a mask like they have in, like, the Marvel, like, in Marvel Universe, for example, when in the Winter Soldier, you know how they have those like digital masks, how Black Widow uses that one to be a part of the
society of
and then she infiltrates it and takes down all the people with Pierce and all that.
Yeah,
anyways, they use those masks a couple times, these disguising masks in Marvel, and I don't know, I was thinking, I was like, I like the fact that they still have these like real tangible
rubber
things, right? So everything isn't just like I don't know how to say it, but I was going to say easily explained away, but you still could. Like, I feel like there's a lot of plot holes where you could be like, just pretend to be this guy.
Yeah, it's like they use CG and they use like the other actor. But
I know this doesn't actually matter, but to me, it's just cool that they actually still have this. It's like they're not getting too far ahead of themselves with the technology.
I mean, in the later films, like in the sequel and in subsequent movies, they get into this whole voice kind of AI voice over thing with like they make them say this line and then it reads it, and which that's kind of very accurate to the way AI reproduces audio now, which is kind of freaky.
But
Declaration of Independence.
As much as I want to talk about the new one, we can't because Matt hasn't seen it yet. So we're gonna talk about the first one, and we'll kind of like relate it to how some of the newer movies are and stuff. Maybe eventually we'll like talk about the entire series as a whole, which would be cool, but I need to still watch all of them. I've seen the first, I think, three, and then I've seen 6 and 7. So I haven't seen 4 and 5.
Boy, that second one's a pretty interesting film, wasn't it?
I think this, dude, what's crazy is it's been.
One way can you look at me?
I want to say it's been like 4 years or so since I've seen these.
Wow.
And I didn't remember almost any of it.
Really?
I don't know, which is crazy because I feel like I have a decent... It's really weird. Some movies and a lot of movies, especially if I really like them, I have a really good memory of. But there's a lot of movies out there that if I only see it once, I think it's because all the movies I have really good memories of, I see them like a bunch of times, but I've only seen Mission Impossible like once. But yeah, I feel like I remember more of this Mission Impossible Fallout than the other ones, even though I saw that one longer ago.
I think just because they're more relevant, so
they stick to your... Okay, that's something I'm going to say. This is an interesting hot take that I don't think I've ever said on this show. And this is a whole kind of statement about movies in general. I feel like, and this isn't always the case, there are movies that break this mold for me, but I feel like I do have a recency bias when it comes to movies. So if there's a movie that comes out and people are like, oh, the classic is so much better.
I don't think it's recency. I think it's relevancy bias.
Yeah, maybe.
Because a newer one is always going to be more, quote unquote, relevant. You know, it's going to have modern tropes in it. It's going to have modern cinematic, like,
here's, this is what I'm getting to, is the cinematic part of it, I think. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's going to be shot more cinematic. Like, this movie, like, just film quality-wise, looks like a film from the 90s.
Right, of course. And you can't blame it. But, like, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, this is my favorite movie, and it's a classic. I don't have a lot of older movies that I'm like, this is a classic, and I love them. And because, to me, it's like, I've seen... I was just going to say, except for Indiana Jones. I was just going to finish my statement first.
That's Jurassic Park for me.
Yeah, I know. But there's... So there are some that do break that mold, but not as much for me as other people, I feel like. And I feel like I like some of the newer versions of movies more so than older versions of movies, whether they remake them or... Well, it depends on what movie you're remaking. Or I think I'm thinking more of like sequels and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But... And I don't know. I don't know. Sue me for it. But I think for me, I just don't like when... And this is fine, especially if you're like an older person who like was around for when those movies came out, like the older ones. And so to you, it did come out during a pivotal part of your life. Like, I know that later down the line, when I'm 30 years older, I'm still going to think that movies made in the like Whiplash, one of my favorite movies of all time, is going to still be probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
And people might look at it and go, oh, that looks old, which is hard to contemplate because movies have come so far. It's like, how does that look old? It looks so clean and crisp. And
yeah.
But well, I think my... What?
Even acting styles, like... Sorry, I'm, like, eating an Icy right now. And it's got alcohol in it, so I'm just, like, feeling pretty glonky.
Feel pretty glonky.
Like, when it comes to, like, acting styles, the way things are shot, like, the way that people take pauses and use dramatic effect in movies from the 90s... or early, even early 2000s, is way different than it is now.
And is that because of how... I don't feel like people have changed the way they've talked. I mean, we do change the way we talk. We have different slang and different ways to communicate. But, like, go back to, like, the 60s or 50s, for example.
Yeah.
Or, like, back when people are talking like this, eh, in the movies. You know what I mean? It's like, did people really talk like that?
I don't know if people actually talk like that. Like, when they went and saw, like, their friend on the street... Hey, Bobby, how you doing?
Oh, did you see the movie last night?
Oh, I sure did.
Me and the wifey went to the theater.
Oh, the wifey I'm sleeping with? Oh, you rapscallion.
How dare you? Would you go? Like to go back and tussle?
Oh, I say I would.
But it's just to me...
Make sure you get a cigarette in there right before you fight. Doctors all say it's healthy. 4 out of 5 doctors say it's right for you.
That's crazy. That's a whole nother topic. Okay. My point is, I don't think... that people, at least in the 90s, talk that way. I feel like acting has gotten more natural. Because to me, it's like you have theater acting, you have film acting, and theater's a little more lively and out there.
Yeah.
And I think when movies were becoming a thing, it transitioned to that, and as they continued to progress, it just got more and more and more natural. That's why, for me, it's like now you have movies that feel like you're just sitting there with them, and it's so real that, like, how do you get more real than that? So that's one thing that I don't see changing a lot, except for that people are just going to get better at it because we have more and more, what am I trying to say? More and more time to have perfected the craft of acting. You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to... I heard at one point that... I'm trying to remember his name. Who is the guy who played The Godfather? The actor who played... I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I should have just looked it up while you were talking.
Cue Nate screaming.
Cue Nate going, are you an idiot? He was playing Superman's father. He's also considered a racist. What?
Al Pacino, right?
No. Oh, is he racist?
No, that's just... It just says...
I hate those people.
Who are you talking about right now?
The Godfather. Look up. Who plays The Godfather?
Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando. I heard the other day that someone was like, Marlon Brando is such an amazing actor. He's the one who kind of modernized the way acting was in the 60s or 50s and 60s or something like that.
Yeah.
And like he was one of those people who was like, the way they said it was, just act normal. That's what this person said. And I was like, wow, just act normal.
Yeah.
So maybe people did talk like this.
Which is harder than you think when you have the camera in your face. But still, my whole point is that like... I disregarding even like the acting part of it, but not a lot of people do this, but there are a select few people out there, I feel like, that just need to also admit that some of my recency bias, I also like to atone to this fact, which is movies are, for the most part, I'm going to get flamed, I feel like, from some of my own opinions.
You flamer.
Movies, for the most part, are made better now. And what I mean by that, now, what? Okay, let me, this is opening up a big conversation.
You keep talking, I'm going to simmer and judge you.
This is opening up a big conversation, because there have been, we just talked on this podcast, I feel like, that a lot of movies that have been coming out, like, we're not super happy with, and they're not great. Because people are more, the studios are more worried about money and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
But I mean, like, the technology, so let's take it back a few years. Let's take it back to, like, 2015 to 2020. Those 5 years. You know what I mean? The quality of movies that were coming out, I feel like stories were good too. But when you're talking about just the technology, as far as like the CGI has gotten better, we've learned so much about like interesting camera angles, what kind of camera angles bring you in more and are more interesting to look at, like color grading, the audio, just like movies over time, as everything should be, as time moves on. You should, if you're progressing in a specific form of like art or technology or whatever, it just should be getting better. And in my opinion, you know, if you take certain movies for like, dude, let's just take Mission Impossible, because that's what we're talking about. The first Mission Impossible compared to Mission Impossible Fallout, since that's the most recent one we've both seen, even though you don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
Is so much better.
I remember the fight in the bathroom.
Oh, so good. Is so much better. And even if you just, let's completely take story out of it, because I will say, and that's one of the notes I have about the first Mission Impossible, the story is actually pretty good, and it really got me invested. Let's take the story out of it, because both stories are great.
Okay.
Just the way it looks, feels, and sounds, you can't tell me that it's not a better made movie. You can't.
No, for sure. I mean, and honestly, it almost seems like it's in a different genre of movies. This movie, honestly, for parts of it, almost seems like a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's... When he loses his team and he's like, I have nowhere to go. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And like, he's got nowhere to turn. And then he goes back to this agency where they're like, just come in. We'll take you home or whatever. And then he finds out that someone's basically turned on him.
Yeah.
And framed him for something. And he just kind of, you see like the tension build up and like what's going through his head in this little like, I don't know, sushi place? I don't know. There's a fish tank.
There's a lot of fish tanks.
There's a lot. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a lot of water.
and he detonates that little plastic explosive, which, by the way, how was the coolest gadget in this movie?
Gum.
I don't think it's plastic explosive. It's like a gummy explosive. Yeah, it's a gum explosive. It's a gummy explosive, like you said. Anyways.
How it feels to chew 5 gum.
Boom! Dude. Talk about an awesome meme template from like 10 years ago. Anyways, so like he does that. He goes through all this crap. He's been beaten to hell. Like, doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
He makes his way back to the safe house. He's losing his mind. He's like not sleeping. He's hallucinating.
Yeah.
His commanding officer. I don't really know how to say the relation.
Whatever.
Like, he's hallucinating him, like, coming back, and it's not him, and it's like, what is going on? You can see the camera angle is really, like, low, tilted shots. It's just like...
Yeah, but those did seem very dated, shots.
That is dated, for sure. But it's just like, that is how that was done.
Right. Like, the best part of that whole story is, like, the beginning to me, where, like, they are... When they're getting infiltrated, and it's, like, getting serious, like, I felt that weight. But anyways, I guess my whole point is... This is interesting because it goes to show how subjective movies are and how emotional they are and tied to your emotions, which is my favorite part about movies. Can you be objective about them? Obviously, we have a podcast about it. But my point is that I love the subjective part of it, because if you watch, for example, this might be really bad example, because I will say that Star Wars, the like original, New Hope, and the original whole trilogy, does have a pretty good storyline, and people would argue that. So good on that. But let's get rid of like the storylines.
It's like so good that they had to repeat it.
But let's get rid of the storylines, okay? Yeah. And if you watch those movies, they are very dated compared to the new
ones. Even with the updates that George Lucas kept doing.
You know what?
Even with that,
of course, I'm going to actually scratch this. Let me pick a different movie because Star Wars is a bad example because the storyline is actually a good story. Let's go to Top Gun. The first Top Gun is not a bad movie. It is a dated movie. It's a good movie, but I don't feel because it is dated. I've seen movies that are made in today's day and age. The first time I saw Top Gun was 2 days before I saw the new Top Gun, which I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for that, but it's a movie I've always wanted to see. Never got to see it. Got invited to see Top Gun Maverick at the pre-screening. So I was like, I have to watch the first one. Watch the first one. I enjoyed it. Not saying it's not enjoyable. The second one is superior in everywhere. In every way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that movie is an extremely dated movie. And you can tell the acting styles in it and the way that things are kind of directed is vastly different than this new movie. It's like they're not even related, other than the fact that it's the same characters and they're doing the same occupation, and he's a pilot,
and every other part of it. But you know what I mean.
But I'm just talking
about it's like the feel of the movie.
If they changed the names and the actors, you could not call it Top Gun.
Right. I see what you're saying completely. But I guess so. Here's my whole point for this. So you look at those two movies. I have talked to people. Most people are kind of in agreement that the second one is better. But I've talked to some people. But a specific person that I talked to is in his late 40s. So he grew up with the first Top Gun.
Right.
And they compared the first and the second. And he knows I'm a big movie guy and I have a movie podcast. And so he was breaking down why this was the case. And he's just wrong. But he was saying that the first one's better. And I was like,
okay.
And again, so this is my whole point of the nostalgic part of this and the emotional part of movies and how they're made now versus how they're made before. It proves that it's such an emotional experience because if you grow up on this movie, if you're a kid and you watch a movie, you're not smart enough to know how a story is supposed to be good and whatever. You see these spectacle things of planes flying around and shooting at each other and this intense stuff. And then back to the bad example of Star Wars. But you see lightsabers and stuff. Luckily, that is a good story. But it doesn't matter. If it was or wasn't, it doesn't really matter. Because the first couple Star Wars movies, I'm sorry, not the first, but episode 1, 2, and 3, luckily, I saw the old ones first. But
yeah,
the age I was at was when 1, 2, and 3 were coming out. So it's I have a specific liking to some of these movies, and everyone does, because as a kid, you grow up and you're like, oh, this is cool to watch, and this is what you're used to, and then you don't comprehend the story as well because you're still a child, and then you grow up and you see the new one, but that other one has such a close place in your heart that it's harder to look at it and be like, okay, the new one is better, but because I've seen this other one a million times and it has such an emotional connection, you almost trick yourself into saying it's better. That's my opinion on it, which isn't a horrible thing.
But that's the thing is so I will say this, because of the way storytelling is done.
Give me one of those.
You want one of these?
Yes.
All right. I'm drinking this little girly Dailies icy hurricane frozen drink.
Give me one.
And it is so sugary.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you're
Give me one.
Okay.
We should have just split one. They're big. I'm probably not going to drink that whole thing or eat this whole thing.
You're going to want to crush it up a little bit.
Okay.
But it started to... That thing was frozen solid when I took it out of the freezer. And it makes me want to cough more than I already am.
That's not good.
Well, that's just because it's cold and sugary.
1% juice.
See, I'm on a health kick, so
gotta get that juice in.
But okay, so if you really do think about it, and you can only compare, I'm sorry, I feel like you have to compare to current standards when it comes to movies. And the better it compares to current standards, the better off that movie is, just in general. So, what is the story of Top Gun? Tell me.
Pew pew meow. What are we talking about? Which one? The new one or
the first one? The first one. So it is them going through Top Gun school, right?
Okay. Well, this goes deeper than the question you asked.
And then
I could go on.
There's a hotshot guy who is not about the rules.
A lot of people argue that the first one is more of a love story than anything else. And
between the guys. Between Iceman and Maverick, right?
I'm talking. No, the lady and Tom Cruise and whatever. Mm-hmm. Because what's interesting is That's all about them going through school, and their goal is to get the trophy of being the best.
Right.
Goose dies. It gets all emotional. Spoiler alert. It gets all emotional. And then at the end, once he does decide to graduate, doesn't get the top trophy or whatever, but then they get sent off on a mission, and then he is kind of the hero. But what makes, to me, the second one so much better is the fact that there was no anticipation in the first one leading up to this big event. And it was like, oh, they're just trying to get this trophy, which is kind of exciting. More of a love story right now. Then his friend dies. So it's sad. It's like, oh, what is... I guess it's over.
And
then
so
it's
many
like,
things going
and then
on.
It's like, and then it's like, oh, but there's also this big mission that's happening. Like, oh, I guess this is important. But we only heard about it 2 minutes before. So why do we care about it that much? And then it happens and it's over compared to the second one.
So I'm glad you said it's a love story, because that is the only consistent story premise going on throughout the movie. And... because there's so many things going on. There's no main focus other than that and him being like...
Well, I mean, obviously the school is a main focus.
Yeah, it's
goal.
A main focus, but
it's fine.
It stops. And then they're off doing war.
Right. My whole point is
they're blowing up actual other
countries.
It's
just not as exciting, and you don't anticipate the big climax that the movie peaks at, which is... But that's why this new one, according to the story, is so much better, because they're building up to this mission that seems impossible. You see what I did there? This is, we're titling this the Tom Cruise episode. This is more than just Mission Impossible. This is just going to be.
I'm going to talk about The Mummy in a second.
which are Tom Cruise movies getting better? That's the whole.
Wow, they are.
They better be.
This Scientology thing's really working for him.
So, yeah, the new, Top Gun, you have the whole scenario where they're actually building up to this thing, and you have all the problems that happen along the way.
Dude. I think you've had too many drinks.
I haven't.
I know, you've had one. I've had, I had one before you got here.
Among the way, all these things are happening. And it's just interfering with what you know the main mission and goal is. So they have to overcome that because of this main mission. And then when it happens, they're building up this thing. So it's so much more weight. And then it's like they have a proper climax peak with all these emotions that pay off.
Yeah, because you're talking about the sequel, right? The second one?
Yes.
Okay.
Jesus.
Because for a second I was like, wait, were you just talking about the first one? Well, yeah, and there's tensions that get resolved other than just, I'll be your wingman any day. You know, it's actual emotional, resentment that someone has for another person, and he finds out that, okay, this guy...
Emotions are a lot deeper. Because of the first movie, to credit the first movie for
backstory.
Yeah, right? That literally, I'm like, you. When I tell people, oh my gosh, you have to watch Top Gun, it's only because I want them to see Maverick, and the only reason I'm making them watch the first is for the backstory for the second, to make the second one as good as it is.
And the thing that sucks is, there's only one thing I can say that's bad about that movie.
Yeah.
And that's the space plane. In the beginning.
I love that part.
It's cool, but, that's Mission Impossible stuff.
Yeah, but it's great. But it's... Yeah, I guess the first one, the big climax war part is just an afterthought at the end of the movie, tacked on. Back to Mission Impossible.
Jeez. By the way, just immediate film conspiracy theory is that it's all in the same universe, because Tom Cruise's character in Mission Impossible is older than his character was in Top Gun. So, and his character in Mission Impossible is ex-military. Got hired to do all this stuff, and then he goes through all the Mission Impossible movies, and then he comes back for Top Gun.
I love Maverick, but I'm just gonna
and that's
say,
how he's doing the space plane. He's a spy.
I love Maverick, but Ethan Hunt would get that mission taken care of that they had to do all the planes for
without planes,
and so much better. So much better.
He would have flown the plane. He would have done a halo jump out of that plane, but use that plane to blow it up. It'll fall down before he gets there, so it'll blow up the box. He'll skydive free fall right into the hole.
And then he'll sniper shot.
Into the hole. He'll plant a bomb. And the bomb's going to release a disease that'll destroy all the... I don't know who they're supposed to be. Chinese, Germans,
they're not allowed to
Russian,
talk about it.
The North Koreanese-tions.
You know that also, like, the other, so they don't mention what race the bad people are in the new, in Top Gun Maverick.
Or which country.
Because they didn't, from what I understand, they didn't want it to be banned in, like, China or these
Asian
countries.
Who cares?
You know, money.
You know what was an awesomely successful movie?
What?
The Interview. I'm just letting you know that.
But it's, I don't think it was successful as Top Gun Maverick, brother.
Well, yeah, what didn't have Tom Cruise in it? They would have put Tom Cruise in it. That's some Tropic Thunder right there. Tropic Thunder numbers. Just think about that.
Yep. So the first Mission Impossible. Let me pull up a couple. We're just kind of chatting about Tom Cruise movies. I don't think we're going like super deep diving into this Mission Impossible, but the reason we kind of wanted to watch it is because I do still want to do an episode on the new one if we can see it in theaters, and it's going to be fun to compare where it started to where it is now. If we can watch other ones in the meantime,
I will compare this. How many freaking like RCT, is it RCT? Is that something else? Is that CRT? I don't know.
What are you talking about?
The tube TV televisions they're using, like they have this supercomputer in the CIA or whatever it is where they're trying to hack in the climax of this movie. It is an old ass computer with an old ass tube screen. That screen is about 5 feet deep.
Oh, for sure.
And then like
1996, baby.
In the opening, like when they're about to do their big heist that gets foiled, like he's got the hidden cameras and it's just black and white.
Yeah.
And it's in a tube TV. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you have all this awesome technology.
You couldn't make a fake cool looking TV.
The bad guy in the movie is on a plane listening to a like self-destructing DVD or something, or cassette or VHS on a flat screen little panel in a just a plane, first class in a plane. And I'm like, y'all have the most latest technology there is. Get a flat screen.
It's like a
fraction of the weight.
Nice. That's funny.
Sorry. I got to put that out there.
I'll give it to you. But, it's, this movie is good. Like, the first thing I wrote down was, like, it's a great story. And I said, if you gave this, what we talked about before, but updated visuals. I said updated visuals and, like, updated gadgets, not gadgets that look like they're trying to be futuristic, but you can clearly tell they're from the 90s.
Well, even that, like, it holds good for a 90s movie. Like, the CGI
that's
of the helicopter.
So my note
is, surprisingly, like, that's better than Sharknado.
I was saying in this note that if you just gave them updated visuals and updated gadgets, the pacing and everything else was pretty good.
Yeah.
You could honestly, you could do this movie now. Updated visuals and gadgets. The story was pretty great. Like, I could see a story like this being done on... It's so simplistic, and I feel like they keep it simplistic enough with the Mission Impossible stuff that it just feels grounded enough that it makes it exciting, like no matter which one you're watching. So the first one, we'll not talk about the second one because I think that one's pretty wild. But
who is that, Henry Wu or something?
I don't remember.
I just remember the dove shots. So
I don't remember.
And I remember him going full blast, just like... pedal to the metal on a motorcycle on his trademark Ninja or whatever he drives, and against another guy on a motorcycle going full speed head on, and they just jump off and just belly flop off one of another.
Do they really?
Yeah, that's one of the scenes.
That's
I'm pretty sure.
I can't wait to watch that one.
And he does all these like, I'm gonna do a handspring. What's it called? A round off.
Okay.
Is that where you use no hands?
That's an aerial.
He does an aerial shooting a guy.
That's awesome.
And he is like, he is so 2000, like, oh, and one cool.
But dude, Tom Cruise in all these Mission Impossibles, it's obviously known that he does all his own crazy stunts, and they get crazier and crazier every year. We talked about this last week, but in Fallout, where he learned to do that move in the helicopter where it like spins and flips and dives, that apparently I was looking it up, and only two people in the world knew how to do that move, and it's super dangerous, but he learned it just for this video, or for this movie. The Halo jump, all that. I'm watching his movies, and I'm like, where did he start?
He's like America's Jackie Chan.
And there's the whole... He is White Man Chan, dude.
White Man Chan.
White Man Chan.
That's the title of the podcast. Tom Cruise is White Man Chan.
Boy, that's some cancel material right there.
Nah.
No, we're giving Jackie Chan props because he's the OG and we have to have the white version. You know what I mean? We have to very clearly like title the fact that he's the white version of. So, but I was saying that I was watching the movie.
Yeah.
And there's this whole scene where he does like a whole magic routine.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, that's the stunt he learned for this one. And it has to like, of all the crazy stunts and all the Mission Impossibles, had to start somewhere. Bro. I'm like, this is where it started.
He learned magic.
He's like, but in this movie, I'm going to learn the craziest magic. I'm going to be the best magician.
I'm going to make this floppy disk.
And that's where it all started. Disappear. Then from there on, it went up and up and up until he's jumping off buildings and stuff.
Floppy disks.
Oh, yeah. There was a floppy.
There's a couple floppies.
Few floppies.
How floppy is this movie?
The floppiest movie.
What? You've got the floppiest movie. Mission Impossible, it's great, but I will say the floppiest movie I've seen. Walked in here and said, wow, that thing's floppy. I said, wow, it's the most floppy. Never seen such a flop.
We went so far. We went so long.
We made it an hour. An hour without doing a Donald Trump impression.
The floppiest. Walked in, I said, well, but I'll show you the floppiest thing. If you think that's floppy, you should wait for the real flop.
Yeah, so that was the big
stunt.
Yeah, it was the magic,
and it looked good. You think they used CG or was that real magic?
It's a really good question. I think it's CG.
They use green screen, green floppy.
Green floppy.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, one thing I wrote down. He gets into a... Again, this is... I'm going to reference one of the newer movies with... what the hell's his name? Superman?
Henry
Cavill.
Yep.
He Mission gets into a pretty big tussle with him, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He gets in a pretty big fight.
Yeah.
Who wins that fight?
Who do you think wins that fight?
Well, in real life, it's Henry Cavill. the guy reloads his arms.
I honestly can't remember exactly. I know they ended up like on a cliffside with the helicopter kind of crashed.
Yeah.
I think they shared a few punches, but then basically like...
Okay, he can hold his own against Henry Cavill, right?
Okay.
And in that movie, he's like kind of described and kind of visually... kind of displayed as a honking man, not floppy at all. You know what I'm saying?
Who?
Henry Cavill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is a brute.
Yep. Big boy.
John Voight just makes him look like a bitch on that train.
Old man.
And this should be like Tom Cruise at his prime, you know, as an individual.
Nah, man. When you get older, you get primed.
Gosh. Dude, I don't know. He's got that old man strength.
Oh, for sure.
Also, one thing,
that dad strength, you should know all about it.
Yeah, yeah, it happens. Bro, have you seen me open a jar of pickles lately?
Woo!
Because it happens before you can even notice.
Wow.
So, these are action movies, right? You'd call these action movies?
I was thinking like more romantic comedy, but we can go with action.
Okay, good. what's a characteristic of like an action flick, you know? Especially when it's like maybe spies or
I don't know, action.
Yeah. Would you say there's like a lot of guns and shooting and things like that?
Sure.
I think there's two shots in this entire movie, both pulled by John Voight's character.
Two gunshots?
Two gunshots this entire movie.
That's fine. That's good.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's good though. Like, give me
the
more.
The next movie's just got like machine guns and stuff in it. And like this movie, it's like John Voight shoots himself, is like. One of the shots, and then the other one is like he shoots his wife,
which is why like that and that was the one scene that kind of took me out. Was like there was really no reason for him to shoot her.
Also,
just to add to the drama, and why immediately when Ethan Hunt, Tom Cruise puts the glasses on and he's like, yeah, we caught you, shoot him. He just kept the gun pointed at him. I'm like, no, how, what, you caught
shoot
me,
shoot him in the
no.
face.
Yeah, kill him. Kill him. And run away.
Also, lady, I can't remember the actress's name.
But instead of shooting him, he turns and shoots his wife for no reason.
This character, I'm trying to remember her name. Why are you settling Claire. For John Voight's character? Lady, you're like 30 years younger than him. Tom Cruise
she's
is
spicy.
Right
she's spicy looking. I'll say it. You're a married man. You'll have to say it. I'm going to say it. She's spicy.
She's spicy. Tom Cruise is right there. Just right. Shoot the old guy. You don't need him.
You don't love him. Come on, let's be real.
For real, yeah, you're in there
you're
for something
scared.
Else.
You're just scared.
Yeah, you're more than...
Remember when he said something about like, oh, it made me so uncomfortable because in that moment he was like, I know what it's like, blah,
I've
blah, blah.
Tasted the
I've
cookies.
Tasted those goods.
I've tasted those
And then
goods.
He looks at her and she gives this look like... Like she's being
she's
abused.
Like
I'm like, ew, like you're old.
Okay. And she just goes, bang, one bang, done. Mm. So these super spies, they don't like... She's alive.
He could have shot both of them if he wanted to.
He could
have. He had the time to go, bang, bang.
Bang, bang, done.
Yeah, that was dumb, for sure. But it's interesting, though, because one of my favorite parts, I had to write a note. I said, his silent grimaced face while almost touching the floor. When he gets dropped, and he's, the classic Mission Impossible scene you see everywhere, where they go, duh, duh, duh,
oh,
duh.
And he catches
and he's like,
his sweat.
And it's always on.
He catches his sweat.
Yeah, he's like hanging from like the ceiling.
And he's got ballet slippers. Look back. He's got
oh,
ballet.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Oh. But he's doing this thing when he gets dropped where his arm's like going back
yeah,
and
yeah.
forth to keep balance, which I get.
He's,
I understand how the body works and balance.
He's freaking out
because
Frenchie dropped him.
Well, he's not freaking out. He's like keeping balance,
yeah,
which you
yeah,
actually
yeah.
do that when you're trying to balance.
Yeah, but his face is freaking out.
But his face is so funny. Like there was a shot and he was like... and it was for a long time. And I'm like, this is hilarious. I mean, I get it. I'd be making the same face. It was just funny. Very realistic. Good acting, because
like,
he was not afraid to go all out.
That is a single scene that like kind of
solidifies
everyone. Yeah,
oh, when you think Mission Impossible, you think wires hanging from the ceiling, sprawled out.
It's been like memed. It's been
used
in parody so much. Golly. And also, I just realized this is probably the second or third time I've watched this film. And I remember distinctly, yes, I remember the Frenchie guy. I'm going to call him Frenchie. I don't know if that's his name. He's freaked out by the rat, and he kind of takes a second, gets freaked out by the rat, and then catches him. That's that thing. I didn't realize that he kills the rat.
Destroyed. Smack. Just freaking.
You know,
just bopped him right on the head, dog. Jeez.
Well, I'm like, I'm curious. I'm like, when I watched it, I kind of did a double take. I'm like, how did he kill the rat? Did he just like headbutt the rat? Because
oh,
it's right next
so,
to his face.
Sure.
Or did he, that's where he let go of it and he kind of like punched it.
Yeah, he punched it hard.
Bro.
Dude, one punch man. Just.
Dude, you ever.
Poor.
Hey, I'm going to tell
Ratatouille,
you. I'm going to tell you
I'm
right now.
You, my little boy only wanted to make some lasagna and he got sent to another dimension.
I'm going
to
tell you right now. As a fellow man has punched a rodent.
You have what? When?
There's some power, good feeling coming out of that.
When?
Okay. Come with me on a journey, will you? Just kind of imagine for me, if you will, I'm in college. Me and my wife are dating. You know, we're we've got some, you know, some things spicing up. We're getting to know each other. I'm taking her on dates. Anyways, I take her on a date, bring her back home. She her
and
her
you made pasta with a little rat in your hat.
Little,
didn't
little
you?
Rat came in and just
when the moon hits your eye. Like,
so they used to rehabilitate like animals because her roommate at the time was gonna like train to be a vet or something like that, or a vet assistant. And they had squirrels, they had birds, they had my favorite raccoons, which those are just like little people.
I love raccoons,
dude. They're great. Once
if
they
you
get
punched
out of,
a raccoon, I'm ending this podcast.
No, I would never. I would never. Even though they've got a lot of rabies, I would never. They're like little people. Like once they get out of their baby phase where they scream 24/7, like they're just like, hey man, I'm just going to touch you for a second and then I'm going to walk away and then I'm going to touch you again. He's like, I'm just going to pat your leg. You got any cat food? That's basically what they do. Well, she also rehabilitates squirrels. Were squirrels, male squirrels, very, I don't know if you've ever like seen a squirrel just like fight another squirrel or
very aggressive.
You just start hearing them go. And like they start like chattering their teeth going.
Yeah.
Well, if they are chattering their teeth, take like a few steps back.
They're ready to fight.
That is them
they are
being
ready
like,
to brawl.
You motherfucker, get out of my life. That's what they're saying. So they rehabilitate the squirrel. They let him off into the
backyard.
And
you said, you want to go?
And he would come back.
He went, and he went, I'll end you.
Basically. So They'd rehabilitate him. They'd send him off to go back with his own kind. Well, he'd come back. Like, anytime they released a bird, the bird would fly back every once in a while, every couple days. And then it eventually would move on or die. I don't know. So this squirrel, his name was Hulk. Like, trust me, I love these people and their love for animals. I built them a squirrel enclosure. And this squirrel came back and doesn't like people that it's not used to. I was one of those people that he is not used to.
Nice.
Me and my wife were sitting on the back porch.
If you punched me.
Yep. Me and my wife were sitting on the back porch. All of a sudden, they're like, "Hulk, come here, come here." And I'm like, "Oh, cool. He's coming back. That's so sweet. It's like Homeward Bound. It's a touching moment." But he's making this weird ass noise and going, like the worst thing you can imagine. Jumps on her, bites her. And I'm like trying to push him off. He bites my finger, rips half my fingernail off, by the way.
What?
These dudes eat nuts. So a fingernail is nothing.
So that was that what he was aiming for? But he got the finger instead?
He got the finger instead. That's anyways, good. He's just, and then he jumps on me, bites my finger, jumps on her, is just clawing at her.
Dude, I could not wait to grab it and throw it across the room. Here's into a wall.
So what I wish I had done was grabbed it and then done that thing, you know, that babies do if you give them like little baby.
Shake
like,
them?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
No.
You shake it a little bit if they're
there's one thing.
You off.
There's a reason why you don't give like little tiny children and toddlers and babies like baby kittens, because they will squeeze the life out of them. That is what I wish I had done, but I had to settle for me rearing back a good right hook,
yeah,
smacking this squirrel, and then him doing what those helicopter blades were doing in Mission Impossible, and he just spun like 50 feet away, and he got air.
That's so funny.
It was so
cinematic. Did he die?
No, he ran away, I guess. But I kind of wish he did.
Oh yeah, I literally saw.
Like
it
I always,
no.
I always try to avoid squirrels. I know you're not supposed to. Just drive through. It's safer. It's just a squirrel. It's not a human.
Mm-hmm.
But I would run over that squirrel.
Oh, for sure. Well, that's a fun story.
Dun, 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 dun.
Is that a true story?
That is a true story. My wife can tell you.
That's crazy. But you realize is I thought the first time I watched that he was like afraid of the squirrel. But what I think actually was happening was he saw the squirrel getting closer to the hole and thought he was going to jump down it. Because I saw him be like, "No, get away!" Like it looked like he was more like, "Oh, he's gonna come this up. He's gonna mess this up." So he had to yeah. Because I'm like, if he was afraid of it, I don't think he would have just straight murdered it. I think he'd be like, "Ah," and let go. You know, I don't think he let go because he was scared. I think he was like, "Let go, take care of this, grab the rope." But I didn't know he just straight murdered it either until this time I watched it.
The rat, yeah, yeah. It's
sorry,
crazy.
Rat. Not
I'm wondering if he stabbed it. He has that knife.
He do have that knife.
Which Tom Cruise like just left that knife there, and he would have had to have come back, got that knife.
For what?
So you realize that Frenchie was the guy who stabbed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Tom Cruise pulled that knife out of his the other agent and like looked at it. So either
he
Tom
did? When?
Yeah. Well, if you would watch the
other
movie,
agent,
yeah. So the woman, I can't remember her name. Oh gosh. I'm going to have to pull it up because all these people have got names.
That... Oh, yeah, I know. But he didn't have to go back. No, he didn't have to go back. Yeah, he pulled out of her because she had.
Yeah, he pulled it
he
out of
her.
He
didn't go back and get it. He just put two and two together when he saw both
No,
of them.
I know. I'm saying he pulled the knife out.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming he dropped it. And,
oh,
and
you're
ran.
Saying. I see.
I'm saying Frenchie had to come back.
I thought you meant Tom Cruise had to go back to the room that they dropped it in. This high security room. I was like, no. I got you. Yeah. Yeah, that is crazy.
It's a cool knife, I guess.
Yeah, how did. That's a plot hole right there. Crazy
plot holes and potholes,
but it's a really good introduction. I can see how in the 90s like this became popular, you know what I mean? Like it's a really good introduction to the series that just like every movie gets better and better,
and it's funny that it survived the sequel because like
it's Tom Cruise, man. If Tom Cruise wasn't a producer, it might not have
because
he's like, no, I'm doing these movies.
Yeah, I mean he knows how to like woo these execs.
Well, he's also a producer, and producers usually
produce.
Do give some of the money, so he probably put some of his own money into it too.
yeah,
or man. Had some sort of weight to pull on them that to make.
Because I think the budget for the first one was $80 million, which doesn't seem like a lot.
Well, back then, but even still, let me see what was the budget for the first Mission Impossible.
Impossible.
$80 million. How did you know?
Oh, look, because I looked into it.
I got them for all of them. Budget for the first one is 80.
Yeah.
Second one is...
Let's guess. Let me guess.
Yeah, I already have them in front of me.
I'm going to say 130.
125.
Dang.
I'm giving that to you.
Because I guarantee you they're going to go up each one.
I'm going to... If you're within...
10.
Yeah, I'll million. Give it to you. 10 million, I'll give it to you. All right, Mission Impossible 3 came out in 2006.
Mission Impossible 3, 2006. I'm going to say it's... Oh, it's got to be... I'm going to say 190.
150.
Fudge. Oh, gosh.
Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, which is the 190. 145.
It got less? What? I thought they were going to keep going up.
Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, 2015.
190. I'm sticking to it.
150.
What?
Mission Impossible Fallout, 2018. The one with Henry Cavill.
Oh, I'll give you that one, 190.
178. Still not within 10. Mission Impossible, the one that just came out, Dead Reckoning Part 1.
190.
291.
Are That's you the biggest shizzing jump. Me?
Yeah, no.
Is it because they're counting for both movies, 1 and 2, Part 1 and Part 2?
Mm-mm. This is specifically says Part 1.
That is so odd, that jump. Yeah. The jump is nuts.
Which is kind of crazy because I've seen both of them, and after seeing Mission Impossible Fallout, I think I would have thought that Fallout would have been more. I don't know. There's some pretty big stuff in the new one.
Like what?
So here's something I'm actually going to talk about because I wanted to touch on this on the first movie. They were saying, I watched a behind the scenes of Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, Part 1, the newest one that came out. And they were talking about one of the big fight scenes and stunt scenes, which is, and you've seen this in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling anything, but the train. There's a train scene.
Yeah.
And they fight on top of the train.
Right.
Happens in the first one. But it's funny because
it's real this time.
In the behind the scenes, they're like, yeah, this is something we've always wanted to do is a fight scene on top of a train. And I was like, wait.
You
a
already
second.
Did that technically.
But what they mean was
a real one.
This one is real. Like the train is moving at like 60 miles an hour and they're fighting on
60?
It which is crazy.
That's nothing. But the usually, first movie was going like 100.
Okay, what is true is the first one is a bullet train. So yeah, it's a high speed train.
So this
one is
like
a locomotive.
This is like a Nerf train.
It's really cool though.
That is cool because you know they speed up the background with CG and stuff, probably.
Well, that's the thing is usually, I think it's also just camera tricks. It's not even necessarily that they speed up the background with CG, but most, for example, car chases. I think they say the max they go in car chases is
like
30
or something,
it's like 35 miles an hour. But it just looks faster on camera.
It's because of the low shots close to the road. Bet you.
Oh, maybe, sure. Yeah, I'll give it to you.
That's what all these race guys who think they're cool in their cars, they put GoPros on like the lower like
oh, for sure.
third of their car, and it makes them look like they're going fast.
But it's
That's what I would do. to make
Talking about better
look cool.
movies, when you can directly compare, there's I'm not going to spoil anything, but there are quite a few similarities from the first one and the newest one that just came out, which is interesting. It's almost like they're bringing certain things back to the roots, but it's done, which is a good comparison for the topic that we said, which is that things are done so much better. And the fact that, like, the first one, you can clearly tell the train sequence is entirely CGI. And the new one looks so good compared
but,
to that.
But, I mean, I will say for the time, I mean,
oh, yeah, I'm sure.
That probably looked so, so crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people are probably like, this is CG?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's probably one of those things. Because I remember my dad talking to me. He's like, I remember the first time I had seen, I don't know what it was, King Kong or something, like the original King Kong, black and white with stop motion gorilla. And he's like, I remember the first time I saw that, it terrified me. I thought the gorilla was real. I'm like, how old were you? And he's like, I was 12.
Okay.
He's like, I was 12. I mean, that's not like six.
It's not
or,
super young, but.
But it's like old enough to like, if you think about it now, like if you saw something like that, you're like, yeah, that's, I can tell that's CG or I can, like, I don't think that that's real.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. I will say, though, I do work with kids, and I know kids that are around that age that still don't like certain movies because they're scary, and I'm like, they're not. I know a kid that told me, and she is 11. She's like, yeah, I don't watch Marvel movies. I don't like them. They're scary. I'm like,
what?
I know. It's crazy. You don't remember what being 12 is like, but.
I remember what 12 was like. 12 was like, yo, hey, I'm gonna come over and we're gonna watch that dirty stuff that your parents like don't know we watch. Not like porn. Not like porn.
Well,
we're watching like
episode.
We were watching like
getting too deep. Stop drinking. I'm just kidding.
We were watching like movies that have like a nude scene in it. You know, like
you and your boys watching Titanic together.
No, I had that. I'd watch that by myself.
Painting like one of your French.
No, we'd watch like Porky's and stuff.
I don't know what that is,
bro. It's like a coming of age tale before like Superbad. It was before Superbad.
Porky's.
Yep.
Sounds like a gas station.
Well,
like Bucky's, but with a pig.
I was like dumb. I was like, they're like, what'd you do at Tyler's? I'm like, we watched Porky's. And my parents knew exactly what that movie was.
Is it bad?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of naked ladies in it. And I was
Is that
like,
why it's called Porky's?
I don't know why it's called Porky's. But,
cool, man.
That's all, folks. Son of a beep, beep, beep. Son of a beep, beep.
Well, yeah, next time, maybe we will actually talk about the new Mission Impossible.
Maybe we'll talk about a relevant movie. Who knows?
A deep dive. Yeah, but probably not. Probably never again. I still need to see Oppenheimer before it leaves theaters. That's when
Oppenheimer.
I have to see the... Who's the Oppenheimer?
I have become the death.
It is the Oppenheimer. He's going to blow up.
Is he like Swedish or something?
Whoever we want. With the bomb. I don't know, dude. I know nothing about it. I'm pretty bad when it comes to history.
I thought he was like a German that we got from the Germans and was like, hey, do your German stuff on this.
Is it, give me the Oppenheimer. Why didn't they call like the first bomb Oppenheimer, you know? Little boy and...
Big boy and...
No, little boy and...
Is big boy.
Is it big boy?
Let's look it up. There's two of them.
I know there are. Because we, as Americans, blew up two cities.
That's right. Hey, we did it so good the first time, we're like, hey, let's do it again.
You can't say that.
Why not? It's been like 60 years. 70 years, something like that.
Little... Dude, what? Fat man and little boy. I knew one was little boy.
Oh, that's what it is.
Fat man and little boy. What a joke, dude. Could you imagine? Imagine right now. here we go. Imagine. I can't do any impressions good, but which one should we do? Biden or Trump?
Biden.
We'll start with Biden. We do Trump enough. We're gonna drop bombs, fat boy, little boy, fat man. I can't do Joe Biden at all.
You gotta just. Hey, listen.
There you go.
Yeah, get more, a little more in the back of the throat. And listen, hey, don't worry about that. We got a little boy, and it's all good.
We got a little boy.
Come here, I'll show you him.
Our recording software said, you guys got to stop that joke right now and just stop recording for unknown reasons.
We had someone from the CIA call in and be like, you can't
talk about Joe Biden like that.
Stop saying that. I'm getting ice cream and you just started saying that. I don't know why.
Can you imagine? Yeah, like Joe Biden announcing. Yeah, excuse me, President, but how do we take care of the Japanese?
Well,
we got a little boy.
We got a little boy and just... We're going to just drop him on him.
Yeah. You'd be the best person to introduce that name of that
You know, we've got this
But don't
this
worry,
plane
there's
and
a fat man with him.
We'll drop him out of one of those big old B-57 twos, you know, with the freaking, the side, you know, we're going to blow him up.
But like it's
Not
just,
a trace. just like we did in Vietnam. My father did that. I was there with my father. What's his name? I think he's crazy.
I cannot believe, Joe, how you do this. You can't say you're going to drop a little boy.
Shut up. I've never been arrested. Check the emails, Jack.
Oh,
never done it.
I walked in here and I said... Wow, that's a little boy. You can't say that kind of stuff, Joe. It's not appropriate. You can't drop little boys on the Japanese.
Oh, I'm going to throw up. You can't say that stuff. Oh, gosh. That's so... Oh, my gosh.
How about a different one like Fat Man?
You just turned into like
I don't. I just. I don't know just who you are. It's been too many. It's been. It's been you too
into,
long.
You turn. You turn. oh gosh, you turned into what's his name? Freaking from Always Sunny.
I don't know. I've never.
So I started blasting. What the hell is his name?
I was going to say Al Pacino. And then I was going to say, wait, no, Da Vinci.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, oh God.
I'm throw up.
We're going to have the best bombs, but we're not going to name after little boys.
I'm gonna die.
Tell you what, Joe, you can pick little boy. I'm going to pick fat man. Oh, but gosh. Who...
It just sounds so, it's such a weird, like, names that, it just sounds so meme-y. Like, if.
I know, but it's like you turned into Danny DeVito and it freaked me out.
If you took those names now and our president announced, we're going to drop Little Boy and Fat Man on this, it would just be funny. Like, we'd be laughing, be like, that's a joke. And then be like,
that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of.
Like, that's hilarious. Why would he make a joke like that? I'm like, oh, shit, they blew up Japan. With Fat Boy and Little Man. Or Little Boy and Fat Man. Little Man.
Excuse me, Joe. It's the littlest man. I basically dropped a midget. I did, and Terminal Velocity says boom. Honestly,
you don't call them midgets, not munchkins. They're little men.
I call them elves.
They're little men.
I call them elves like Santa's
Anything
workshop.
Else is racist.
I wouldn't have called him that. I would.
But if it's a little man, you also can't say big boy because boys are boys. And that's gross, Joe.
Honestly, I would have said something a little scarier. Maybe like something named a Hillary. I dropped a Hillary on her. I don't know about you, Mike Pence.
We'll call one of them Hillary and the other one the emails, because either way, it's bad news.
And something's getting deleted. Jump out. I've got a hearing to get to.
Oh, my God. I wish that was at the beginning of the podcast, because no one's going to listen this long to hear that. That was so good. Holy shit.
Dude, when you save it up till the very end, it just explodes.
After a couple drinks.
Like little boy. Something's getting deleted.
Just like the last episode of That's Movies, Brother. I listened to it. Big fan. The biggest fan.
I said, wow, what a good podcast.
I listened it's to crazy. The podcast. I said, wow, it's so good. They have the best impersonations, the best guests. Except for Sleepy Joe.
Hey, you can't say that about me. I've been here for weeks. No one saw me. I was just sleeping in the corner.
Joe, I don't know why you even talk anymore. It's incoherent. I just hear blah, 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 blah.
Hey,
blah.
Hey, come on. Come on. Look at all the things I did. You know, economy's booming. Gas is the cheapest
it's
ever been.
I'll show you something else booming. The little boy you've got. Hey, over there.
Who told you? Oh, the bomb. Yes, it's
we're
yes,
gonna the bomb. We gotta. We're goodbye. This has been fun. We're getting too off the rails. It's been a good time. Thanks for that.
Hey, maybe we should have something called Bonus Brother or something, where it's like the last 10, 15 seconds where all we do is go off the rail. And then that's
like 10, 15 minute podcast episode.
Put it behind a paywall. There we go. We can monetize this.
Oh,
bad boy.
That would be amazing. I want to upload just like the last 10 minutes of this podcast as a clip to like my Instagram and be like, who would pay to listen to this and see if people think it's funny? Because I feel like people would DM me and be like, Tyler, you can't say that stuff.
Hey, we've decided as a company, we're not going to let you be in our movie. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. It's been fun. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
I almost fainted.